These days, you can use the internet to do some pretty amazing stuff. You can watch just about any movie or read any book anytime you want. You can video chat with someone on the other side of the world. Or, if you are retired MU professor Robert Benfer, you can discover the massive structures left behind by an ancient Peruvian civilization using Google Earth. Alex Smith has the story.
Anthropologist Robert Benfer received international recognition in 2006. That's when he announced the discovery of an ancient observatory in Buena Vista, Peru, that was built to mark the winter and summer solstices. The structure was 4,200 years old, older than Stonehenge. Its sophistication forced scientists and historians to reevaluate the ancient people of Peru. Benfer has spent much of the past few years following up on that discovery and continuing to explore the area. In 2010, he made another major discovery in Peru, but this one happened while he was in the U.S.
Wisconsin had over 10,000 animal effigy mounds in the 18th and 19th centuries. They're nearly all gone now, but a lot of them have been reserved in parks, and I visited them. So I had at the back of my mind this image, and I knew that they didn't exist anywhere else in the world, not in Europe, not in Asia, not in Africa, not in South America, only in the central part of the United States, perhaps because I had that image in the back of my mind. And then I noticed through Google Earth imagery this one, particularly a condor, which I'd always been suspicious of from our maps.
The condor mound, like the animal effigy mounds in Wisconsin and Ohio, is a huge animal shape built from earth. These are so big that the animal shape is only discernible from a high vantage point. After spotting the condor, Benfer also noticed another animal. It's a monster, somewhere between a puma and a crocodile-like animal called a caiman. Benfer suspected he was onto something big, so he decided to travel to a coastal valley north of Lima to confirm his findings.
When I got there and I realized, yeah, these are animals, oh, wait a minute, maybe they're only two, but they can't be only two. And so I started going up the valleys one by one north of this valley, and I found them in every valley. I've done six so far. So they were common.
The mounds Benfer found range from 5 to 400 meters long, and he suspects they were built by carrying dirt and rocks in baskets. By examining the sophistication of nearby ceramic fragments, or the lack of fragments, Benfer estimates that some of the mounds could be as many as 5,000 years old. That's way before the Inca Empire, which lasted from the mid-1400s to the mid-1500s AD. And they also predate the North American mounds by a few thousand years. There's still a lot to learn about the Peruvian mounds, but Benfer has already published an early account of his discovery in Antiquity Journal. He says the need for people to know about these mounds is urgent.
Because the smaller mounds are being destroyed at a hideous rate. I mean, I personally, in these 2 years, I have seen about 8 of them disappear. And I stopped one by refusing to get off the mound that a bulldozer was about to cut through. Until he finally went and got the supervisor, and he said, well, you know, I don't know if he did it after we left or not, but he said he wouldn't. We'll see. Well, I'm going to go back. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I went to some publicity there. The farmers, if they knew these were important mounds, they might not destroy them. They don't know. They know they're archaeological mounds, of course. They know everything about their fields, but they think they're unimportant because some of the smaller ones don't. You know, they just don't seem important to them.
One of the closest things, as we talked about, to these mounds that people are already sort of familiar with are the mounds in North America.
Yes. Right?
How do these compare with those in terms of, you know, scale and sophistication?
Well, they're on the same level. The two largest ones are 400 meters long. There are a few in Ohio that are larger than that. But generally speaking, they're about on the same scale. Mm-hmm. And actually, none of the ones in North America are as large in volume as some of the ones that I have found. They just weren't built that tall. But the one, for example, the Serpent Mounds and all those, I've walked across similar ones in Wisconsin. They're just 5, 6, 8 feet tall at most in the center, but at some of these are 40 feet tall. On top of one is a platform mound with stairs and then with big stones on each side. There's nothing like that in North America.
The mounds in Peru, they are designed to sort of mirror astrological signs.
That's my working hypothesis. It's the same hypothesis for the mounds in North America.
Mm-hmm. And are they lined up with stars that you would see in South America?
Well, here's the way they're lined up. The ones at El Paraiso, which is where I began, are lined up with the extreme that the Milky Way can form in any 24-hour period. And I have to make a little digression here as to why that would be. If you're close to the equator, you don't see Polaris, and actually Polaris wasn't anywhere near the north at that time anyhow. And there's nothing in the south. There's almost no stars in the south because you're looking away from the galaxy. So cardinal directions don't loom as large. You can create them by what's called a gnomon, a stick in the ground. You can learn which way north is by the shadows of the sun. But mostly people oriented themselves more by the extremes that the Milky Way could form.
Why did they build the mounds, you know, lined up with the stars like this?
I don't know the answer. But here's the thing about the Andean peoples and really South American peoples. They were like modern physicists. They did not see time and space as orthogonal, that is, as independent. They considered them the same thing. And so when they talk about time and space, they talk about it in a different way than you and I do, but not in a different way than a physicist was. And so they were very concerned in keeping track, shall we say, of where they were. Part of the general concept of locating ourselves, the human need to locate ourselves in time and space, is that we have some axes that are important to us. And for them, there were several for time and space. The solstices were very important because in the coastal valleys, the December 21st solstice announced that the river was going to begin to rise from the melting of the glaciers. It also told you that if you went down to the coast, if all the birds were still there, then there was not going to be an El Nino year. El Nino years were terrible for fishermen, but they were disasters for farmers because you only get droughts or floods. And in fact, you don't have a very good chance of surviving just with farming in an El Nino year. So December 21st solstice is very important. So that sunrise is one that people attended to. And the March 21st equinox, equally important, because on that day, if you haven't gotten the crop in, you're done for because the water is going to begin to reside. So these early farmers, every day they saw where the sun set, and nobody would be so stupid that they wouldn't notice this connection.
The only ancient structures in South America that come close to the mounds are the Nazca Lines, which are also located in Peru. The lines are also giant animal shapes, some as big as 200 meters, which were carved out on plateaus about 1,500 years ago. Because these shapes are also only recognizable from a high vantage point, some people have wondered if they were designed to communicate with extraterrestrials, and it's likely that similar theories will build up around the mounds. Benford doesn't completely dismiss the idea, but he's pretty skeptical.
I didn't have any opinion on extraterrestrials because if they were here, they didn't. They came with a light touch, but I think, you know, that's fantasy, and I'm a scientist. I don't have any opinion on that. But we know a lot about how Andeans communicate with the non-material world. Because people still do today, and we know from ethnohistorical accounts what they did, and we know from archaeological cases what was going on, and here's the way it went. Priests made offerings to the earth, because if you're going to do farming, you're going to cut into the earth, and that's harming the earth, and you're going to have to make offerings for her to forgive you and give you a good crop. But the thing that was looking down on you was not gods up in the heaven, but spirits in the tallest mountains, which are called Apus, A-P-U. And the condor would communicate with them how things were going on the ground. and, you know, were the offerings being made properly? And if they were not, the apples could do bad things. They could bring lightning to kill you. There sure was, you know, a continent-wide set of beliefs about how humans interact with the supernatural world. And none of that implies any visitor from another universe.
Mm-hmm.
Such a thing might happen. Perhaps such a thing has happened. But if it has, it was outside the realm of science. Nothing was left behind to suggest that.
MU Professor Emeritus Robert Benfer says his next step is returning to Peru so he can radiocarbon date the mounds. For Casey Currents, this is Alex Smith.
Hey! Hey!
After the break, the Nelson Atkins Museum revisits the great world's fairs. This is Casey Currents.